We're here this morning to be reminded that this message, these ideas, this version of what Jesus Christ did and said is not new. And we hear it here, and we agree with it, and then we walk out to meet our lives, and we don't see any connection. It's like the message is one thing, and then our lives unfold in a different way. This morning, we're going to look at freedom. We're going to see that what we meet in our daily lives can be met from what we learn, what we hear, what we internalize here. It's truth. It's always been. It's not new. And it has a power that's been proven over and over. And it starts small. And it also starts big. But it's we who determine, oh, that's small and insignificant, or that's big, that I need help with. No, God doesn't see big and small. God is. And there are going to be some examples today of just that perception. Last week, Craig read from several passages from Dr. Quimby. He interpreted Quimby's understanding of ancient truth just as Lucy had written it in our mission statement in your program. Our mission is to awaken in each seeker, awareness of the healing presence of the Christ within. It is to bring a new understanding to the age-old wisdom of the Old and New Testaments, to make understandable to everyone the omnipresence of God. P.P. Quimby was a scientist, and scientists are methodical in their exploration of a subject that interests them. They experiment, keep records. If an experiment fails, they try another. Years ago, I read that Edison and his staff tried hundreds of experiments before they were successful in developing the light bulb. For Quimby, he became interested in the power in man's mind. And he kept trying and rejecting different approaches until he fulfilled what Jesus had said, "These works that I do, ye shall do also, and greater." So today, we're focusing on going beyond just a mental understanding of truth into incorporating it into our daily pattern. We have lived thinking that our daily activities are relatively small and insignificant. And if we're having trouble, if we're frustrated and stressed, well, that's the way life is. It's not too serious. You can live with it. It's not worth taking to God. However, Jesus Christ walked around in a small country. He did not divide up his daily life into large and small, important and unimportant, a situation worthy of God's attention, just an average, relatively unimportant happening. Jesus Christ knew God does not see big and small. God is love, permeating everything. And it's when we bring our truth understanding, no matter what it is, even if it's just God is here, when we bring this understanding into what we consider small and unimportant, God takes that idea, that seed, builds on it, and we find ourselves in something so great we could never even imagined it. This week, I read an article in the New York Times about a man with an idea that unfolded slowly, and God gave the increase. A retired coach of young boys, probably didn't say, but sounded like third, fourth graders, he became a barber in his retirement. But he kept thinking about some of these boys who rotated into team captain and could not speak well enough to tell their teammates what they were supposed to do. As a barber in his retirement in Harlem, he saw boys and dads come into the barber shop. And they had a lot of time waiting. The boys were fidgety and bored. And so one day, he brought in a couple of children's books. And he told the boys he would give them $3 if they read the book out loud while he was cutting their hair. For the shy ones, the barber pretended he couldn't hear them and asked them to speak up. The idea caught on. Other people brought in books. The boys' language skills and confidence grew, and the idea spread across the country with 15,000 barbershops participating in this program. And it has spread to another place where moms and their children congregate and wait, into laundromats. One barber had an idea, started small. My late husband Don used to speak about internalizing the value. Dr. Seale says, you must be the state of mind before you see it in expression. Dr. Salazar says, until an idea is accepted in your awareness, in your established attitude, your consciousness, it will not appear in the outer world. The barber nurtured this idea. He kept it close to his attention. He valued it. And God multiplied it. 3,000 years ago, someone who lived in God's presence wrote in Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. The barber's idea was just for his local neighborhood barbershop. Spirit has ways that man knows not of. So how do we remember to move beyond our daily thought pattern? We can say mentally, God is all good, both invisible and visible, and then turn right around and accept what we see and hear and feel, pile on the judgments. We believe the picture is the whole condition, and we get busy trying to eliminate what we call bad and keep the good. We describe the condition to others, seeking advice how best to fix it. And all the while, our spiritual teachers and examples, contemporary and going back thousands of years, tell us there's another way to respond to what we perceive as trouble. For the barber, the trouble was he saw children getting left behind because they could not communicate well enough to speak with ease. So he brought in a book. He asked them to read out loud and got them to do it by giving them $3. It was simple, natural, in his daily pattern of working in the barbershop. God works through us. Several thousand years ago, there was a king, Jehoshaphat. We've looked at him. He seemed to have a much bigger problem, impossible to solve. An enemy army was coming to take over his people and his land. They were close, and the children of Israel had no army, no way to fight back. This is in the Old Testament book of 2 Chronicles. It's in your program. God told Jehoshaphat's prophet, "You won't need to fight. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." King Jehoshaphat understood that he was not supposed to fix this himself. The human way would be to think of possibly sending an emissary to meet the leader of the invading army and reason, maybe negotiate some solution, possibly a bribe. Instead, King Jehoshaphat believed it when he was told, "You will not need to fight. You will not need to resist." And Jehoshaphat didn't reply, "But what about our lives? What about our families, our property, our possessions? We have to fight to defend ourselves." Instead, Jehoshaphat was told, "Get your people to go out, meet the army, praising God and singing." Humanly, that would be like a suicide mission. They did it anyway, trusting in something they couldn't control didn't know the end of. What they didn't know was there was another army hiding in the bushes that jumped out, surprised, ambushed the invading army, killed everybody, and then apparently they had planned to attack the children of Israel anyway and were interrupted by this other army. But instead of turning on the children of Israel, they turned on themselves. Everybody died. And so two armies were defeated without the children of Israel getting involved at all. Only God can do something like that. God has all the solutions. If our help is needed, starting the process by bringing in a children's book, or walking out to meet the enemy, praising God, then we'll know we're led with what to do. And it will be something easy for us, although it may take great courage. We'll probably not know what God's plan is. And the hard part will be to give up control. However, the process starts by turning within. Emmett Fox was an ordained divine science minister who was able to take biblical language and ideas and state them in ways anyone interested could read, learn, and use. His golden key was one sentence that stopped the endless loop of evaluating an outer situation, large or small. This golden key, which is stop thinking about the problem, whatever it is, think about God instead. Emma Curtis Hopkins and Dr. Salazar paraphrased it this way. The outer world cannot be fixed. It can only be transcended. Paul said, "Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." Jesus Christ said, "Of myself I can do nothing. It's the Father within that doeth the work." I like the golden key. It's one sentence, a powerhouse of wisdom that unlocks our inner power, our connection with what already is. In summary, the golden key is what you can take with you and use this week as you answer the phone or keep an appointment or work outside in your yard. There are no important and unimportant conditions. There's just God, all good now, eternally. Let us pray. Loving Father, we believe you are all there is. And we ask that we be an open channel for the flow of your presence. So it is. Amen.